Studio 360.
I recently read a terrific new novel. It's called The Woman Next Door. It's by Yawande Omotosho. And it's about a pair of successful, well-to-do elderly women who live in a suburban enclave of Cape Town. Marion is a white South African, and Hortensia is black and retired to South Africa after working in Britain. And Yawande Omotosho is here with me to talk about her novel and her life. Yawande, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you very much.
So will you start us off with a reading from The Woman Next Door?
Yes.
And what you're going to read starts where Hortensia is going next door to meet Marion after she has found out she was not invited to the regular neighborhood committee meetings.
Hortensia had taken a short trip to Marion's and pressed the buzzer on her intercom.
It's Hortensia James from next door.
She had not been offended by the absence of any show of welcome from her neighbor or the other residents. They had not come to Catherine to make friends, something both she and Peter had managed without for the bulk of their lives.
Wait, I'll call my madam,
a disembodied voice said. Hortensia leaned her shoulder against the wall.
Hello?
That must be Marion.
It's Hortensia from next door.
This was the moment when Hortensia understood that she would not be invited in. The slight annoyed her briefly, but she waved it away as unimportant.
I'll be attending the meetings.
It mustn't sound like she was asking permission.
The committee meetings.
I hadn't realized you were owners.
Hortensia, still listening at the buzzer like a beggar.
Yes, well, we are.
Oh, well, I was confused. And
Hortensia could almost hear Marion searching for another gear.
Is that gentleman your husband?
She wasn't asking so much as scolding.
Who, Peter?
Yes. Again, this hadn't surprised Hortensia. She'd fallen in love with a white man in 1950s London. They had been asked on many occasions to verify their courtship, to affirm that they were attached, to validate their love. Within a year of being together, they were practiced at it.
Yes, Peter is my husband.
I see.
In the silence, Hortensia supposed Marion was thinking, inching towards her next move, preparing another strike. But instead, she heard a sigh and almost missed the details of the upcoming meeting. Marion even threw in a dress code as a parting gift.
We dress for our meetings, Mrs. James. We follow rigorous decorum.
As if she thought dignity was something Hortensia required schooling in.
That was Yawande Omotosho reading from her new novel, The Woman Next Door. So the character of Marion, the white woman, is not, as you portray her, wasn't an aggressive defender of apartheid, but she didn't do anything to fight against it. Was that standard in South Africa?
I remember meeting a woman and speaking to her. I was so moved. A white South African, she just said, you know, I didn't do anything when she talked about apartheid. And she said, I live with that every day now.
Huh.
And I was like, wow, that's my character,
yeah.
You know, in a way. Look, you know, South Africa, we had the TRC. We looked at the obvious monsters. You know, we looked at...
Explain what the TRC is.
So the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, that was a commission headed by Archbishop Desmond
right.
Tutu.
And it looked like, hey, great, all fine. No blood,
some
no
some
violence.
Degree of that. Yeah. Some degree of, okay, we've done that. Obviously, that's false. And now, decades later, we know that as a society and we're dealing with that. So what's coming up now is that didn't solve anything. And so the Marion character is very deliberate for me because I wanted to look at that person. She didn't defend apartheid. She hasn't poisoned anybody or shot anyone or said good.
Right.
You know, she hasn't done those things. But what about the little domestic crimes of apartheid, the quiet things in a corner? What about the little things that we've done and we're complicit? So Marion, many people were complicit.
Right. Your father is a very big deal Nigerian and South African writer, Kole Omotosho.
Mm.
Talk about that, about going into the family business.
to be honest, so my first degree is in architecture. I'm an architect. And my dad was quite instrumental in making sure I studied architecture and not English literature, which is what I thought I had to study to be a writer.
Because he wanted you to earn.
Yeah, he was just like, listen, look, sit down. And he gave me the talk. And I went ahead and did that degree. I went back and did a master's in creative writing. And I just informed my dad. And, you know, and he's been supportive. And people often say, oh, do you feel pressure? I don't feel pressure. I feel lucky, feel supported. But there isn't this sense like, oh, you've got to live up to something.
Yeah. They, your family, moved from Nigeria to South Africa when you were
12.
12. Mm-hmm. And apartheid was in its last legs, but still in effect, right?
Yeah.
Now, why does this black African family with options and big fame, wherewithal and all that, decide to move to apartheid South Africa?
It was a very deliberate choice of my dad's. I mean, we thought he was insane. As kids, we just thought, why are you taking us to this place where they don't like people like us? But he'd left Nigeria sometime before because it was also, Nigeria was going through its own,
right,
we weren't yet in
thing.
Democracy,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
But it was a time where Nigerian academics and intellectuals were being killed, letter bombed. You know, you couldn't write what you wanted to write. So we'd stayed there, but he'd left from like 88.
Huh.
He'd left and was lecturing in Europe. He wanted to bring us back together as a family again. He didn't want to not be on the continent. He wanted to stay in Africa. And he assessed the situation and said, it doesn't look fabulous yet, but he felt it was going to get better. And so we went at a time when there wasn't this mass influx from the rest of Africa to South Africa.
So he was sort of betting correctly on history.
Yeah. They hadn't done the referendum yet.
Right.
So it was still in discussion.
Mandela was still in prison.
There were discussions. But South Africa hadn't been through its, you know, there was massive bloodshed between 92 and 94, you know, the warring between political parties. So much still had to happen that we were there to experience.
So as a 12-year-old, you come to this, which is a time of change in a person's life, you come to this country undergoing this change. I mean, how did those two things work together? Being an adolescent as South Africa goes from apartheid South Africa to democratic South Africa.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was very strange. And I think, you know, I'd like to think of it as coming into South Africa at a time when, you know, when you walk into a room and the argument has already happened, but the tension is still there.
Yes.
So you're 12, so you don't know all the details of what's gone on, but you know, you can sense that something's the matter. We obviously, my parents sent us to the better schools. Those were schools that were only just opening to black people. So I went from Nigeria to suddenly being weird, being strange, looking strange.
And being one of a few black kids in a class.
Being one of a few black kids and then not even being a black South African. You know, so it was difficult and a strange time.
Well, it must have been a little scary to say, okay, I am this person who's lived here for more than half of my life, but to write a novel that's all about the history of this place that I'm not really from,
yeah.
that took some bravery.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, although some people kind of challenge me and say, why isn't Hortensia black? Black South African, sorry. Why do you make her? And I said, you know, I just needed a little bit of room to not be making a major character a black South African. And that has to do with my own sense of what I can imagine right now and what I feel I can't imagine.
Right.
South Africa is interesting because it has 11 official languages. But for me, when I write a black South African character, I'm writing somebody whose first language I have no grasp of. And that's something I struggle with.
Yeah. So as an architect, were you a designer of houses or high rises or gas stations or what?
For a long time, I did social housing with the company I worked for about 5 years or so.
As we call it, public housing.
Public housing. And then I moved into the more corporate scene and worked for a property developer. You know, I need to confess my sins. And we did hotels and shopping malls, office blocks. At the moment with my company, I mean, we do anything because we're new.
Oh, you still do it?
Yes, but it's architecture light because my two partners are on extended maternity leave and I take what I can cope with as a one person and I'm balancing it with the writing.
Uh-huh. And how does that work? I mean, when do you write?
It's a very experimental lifestyle.
But do you expect you'll keep doing both for the rest of time?
I hope so. My poor father sent me to school and I got an architectural degree. So, but no, it's not about him. I actually enjoy architecture and I think I'd be sad to not have some kind of foot in it. It's important to me.
Are you as good an architect as you are a writer?
Oh dear, how do you answer that? I do love them both almost equally. And I have the commitment to be as good at both. You know, I'm interested in being a great designer. Uh-huh. And I'm very interested in writing better and better books.
We should poll the critics. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed this.
Yawande Omotosho's new novel is called The Woman Next Door, and it's available now.